Welcome to MMBT, a podcast about music, movies, books, and TV shows. I'm your commentator, Emilio.
All right, and welcome to this episode. So like I had posted on my Twitter feed, this is going to be Queerbaiting Part 2. I had hoped to line up a couple of people to do some stuff with me, but it didn't pan out. So it's going to be my thoughts, again on all this, and hopefully in the future I can get somebody. If you have thoughts, I would love to have you tweet me, and let me know, your thoughts on all of this as well. You know, a lot's happened this month, so maybe do a little recap of current events to kind of put us where we are right now. It is, for me, recording June 30th, 2018. We just had a Supreme Court justice retire. And so that's going to be interesting coming up in the world of marriage equality and all that kind of stuff. We had a couple big celebrities come out as bi this month. And, So that's puts it in perspective. So in terms of where I was from last year, Once Upon a Time has now sort of wrapped up and concluded and ended the way that we were all hoping it wouldn't, which is queerbaiting until the end. And so that's kind of a little disappointing for me as a Once Upon a Time fan. I was kind of hoping that they would see their ways and do something, but they decided to stick to queerbaiting until the very end of the show, so that's disappointing. In terms of what I was thinking about, I was thinking about when I was making this podcast, some of the new movies that have come out, Ocean's 8, for one, that people are, you know, going, well, is it queerbaiting, is it not queerbaiting? It was queerbaiting. They definitely, you know, we're trying to entice women and lesbians in general to come out and see it. But I think they did it in such a way, and the cast even knew that that's what was happening, that it didn't feel like they were trying to make amends for it during all their interviews and that kind of stuff. Which was nice to see. In terms of TV and queerbaiting, I think we're going to probably see more and more of it now that we're going into a more conservative cycle. And whether that's intentional or not, when you go into a more, it seems like whenever you get more conservative, television gets more conservative. And whenever you have more liberal politics, television becomes more liberal. And so I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see some more queerbaiting happening. I am hopeful, however, that Supergirl is going to change their ways and not queerbait to the set that they have been. There are new forms of queerbaiting, you know, such as putting on a queer character and saying, here's your representation, but not really ever giving them a true fulfilling storyline. So that's one thing I'd like to see about Brooklyn 990. Is that they aren't doing that, that they actually are giving good representation to the bi character that's on there, and not queerbaiting, which I feel like Supergirl is definitely still doing that. They're like, here's your gay character, but we're going to take really their relationship, and we're going to, you know, sort of bait you into watching because we have this queer, quote-unquote, openly gay character, but, you know, they're openly gay, but, you know, we're not going to have them in a relationship. And that, to me, is something that we need to fight back against. Like, it's great to have representation, have openly gay character, but we need to have that character showing, you know, going through all the trials and tribulations of building a relationship. There are very few and far between shows that are doing that on TV right now. Well, I know Earp, I feel, is doing a great job of that with their characters. So they're sort of showing, you know, hey, we have queer characters, we have gay characters. We're giving you a building relationship between those characters, letting those characters develop. And until we have more shows that do that, any show that has a, you know, a character that we're saying is gay, but not giving them the full dynamic and character development of that character, is still, in my opinion, queerbaiting us into watching that show because it has an openly queer character or gay character or transgender character. And we need to definitely change that. There's, you know, part of this that I'm recording it is during Pride Month is because I feel like it's an issue that we tend to gloss over. Especially nowadays when we feel like we're getting more and more representation, we tend to sort of sit there and go, well, we have representation, that's good enough. But that isn't. One of the things that disappointed me in the past year was the reboot of Will and Grace. And to me, part of it was it's playing into that new queerbaiting, which is, oh, look, we have gay characters, openly gay characters on TV. But the development that we had given to those characters over the original course of the show, we are now going to take away from those characters and bring them back to where the show was when it first came on the air. And that, to me, is a shame to those characters, not only to the openly gay characters that were on that show, but to the straight characters that were on that show, too, because they had developed Grace really well over the years and changed her a lot as a character, and then they kind of reverted her back to season one Grace. And to me, one of the things that I loved about Will and Grace was the fact that you saw these best friends develop and change over time and really become more themselves. And in any show that takes that away, to me, is also queerbaiting you because you're like, hey, we have the show, and now we're not going to be doing this. I know I'm rambling, but like I told you, I'm going to ramble a lot on this show. In terms of queer representation on TV that isn't queerbaiting, because I feel like in order to show queerbaiting, you have to show what isn't. In the movies and TV, we've had a great job of showing queer, openly queer, gay, lesbian characters in the past year. I mean, even the past 2 years, you had Carol come out, which I thought was a great movie, even if it was a little bit different from the book. And if you haven't read the book, The Price of Salt, that's based on, you should read it. It's a great read. Disobedience came out. That, to me, was, you know, a movie that falls into this new queerbaiting category. Because while it's having gay characters and it's expanding a look, it's also falling back into old stereotypes of what gay and lesbian movies for a long time were thought of having to be. It kind of fell into the same category as The Children's Hour or The Fox, which are classic lesbian movies, and if you haven't seen them, you really should. And there's nothing wrong with those. It definitely shows a period of time in what society thought of gay people as being. However, it doesn't move the dialogue forward and show that we have a new way of looking at things. And I'm not saying that people aren't disobedience is great, and it shows that we still have homophobia in the world, but it still presented it in such a way that, in my opinion, the homophobia went out, and the being open and affirming about who you are took a back seat. And whether that was the intent of the movie, I don't know. I haven't read the book yet that has the same name. And maybe once I read the book, I'll feel differently. I a lot of times in movies, once if I see the movie first and then I read the book, once I've read the book, I understand what they had to cut. And sometimes I feel a lot differently about that movie. In either direction, either good or bad, in terms of my opinion of it. I really wish that I had been able to have a couple of people on who could have given me, I was hoping to line up some people who would give me like a bisexual perspective on queer baiting and that kind of stuff, because that's a perspective I'm never going to have. And it just sort of fell out that I wasn't able to do that. So hopefully next year I can get that perspective. Just because I feel this is something that it faces into so many aspects of pop culture. Even in video games now, The Last of Us is now showing an openly gay character, and I would really like to get a friend of mine who's really into gaming on here to give me her perspective on all that, because as somebody who hasn't played that game series yet, I am a gamer, but I just haven't played that game series yet. I want to know what the thought is about having that, if it's good, if it's bad, is it, you know, queer baiting in gaming? So that's where I'm on all of that. I felt like I just needed to get something up for you in terms of my thoughts on this. I really wanted to get a queer baiting pride kind of podcast up and going for Pride Month. And so I don't have a lot more to say. I wish I had been able to have some people on so we could have some more discussion on it. But in terms of where I'm at compared to last year, I feel like we're starting to see more and more queer baiting happening again, and especially in what I consider new queer baiting, which is you have a gay character, but you don't fully develop that gay character on TV. And whether that's progress or not, I don't know. I mean, I feel that playing minorities also have that too, where you have the representation in that character, but they aren't fully developed on the show. And so to me, that's where the new, I think new queer baiting is. And so I know I said I was going to elaborate on that last year. And so that's me elaborating on it. And so that's, where that is. I don't have much more for you today. I want to hear your comments, though. If you have any thoughts or opinions on new queer baiting in general, do you think they're both the same? Am I just making up a phrase now that isn't really truly a new phrase? all that fun stuff. But I would love to hear from you, because it's great to hear somebody else's opinion besides your own in your head. So with that, I'm going to end this podcast with peace, love, and joy to all of you out there in listening.